Hello, and welcome to Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Keshet Starr, and today we're going to be learning Tehillim Perek Samach Vav, Chapter 66. In this perek, we continue the theme of praising Hashem, but do so through another lens, that of our historical narrative as a people. In Pasuk Bet, we are told to Zamru Kivod Shemo, or to sing the glory of his name to praise Hashem. Rashi explains that this means to recite Hashem's glory with music and song. The next pasuk tells Hashem, Mano rama asacha, how awesome are your deeds, and that with your great might your enemies cower before you. Rashi interprets great might to refer to specific situations like pestilence, the sword, famine, and lightning. Now, before we continue, it's worth asking, why are these four items put together? After all, pestilence, warfare, hunger, and lightning are all pretty different from each other. War is a human-created atrocity. Lightning clearly comes from nature. Pestilence and hunger can involve both, with natural occurrences and human behaviors combining to create really problematic situations. But what all of these scenarios have in common is the extreme destabilizing impact they have. As we have seen firsthand during the coronavirus pandemic, pestilence can bring entire commercial and social networks to a halt, as can war, famine, and natural disasters. In each of these circumstances, as human beings, we experience a deep-seated loss of control. However, as terrifying as this loss of control is, which again, we have learned firsthand this past year, it can also wake us out of our malaise and allow us to become more aware of our actions and to recalibrate if needed. Similarly, Rashi notes that when the pasuk says, your enemies cower before you, what does it mean to cower? It means that they confess their sins in fear. The frightening nature of these displays of God's might can awaken those steeped in sin and remind them that, hey, maybe I should reevaluate. Continuing on to Parakeh, the pasuk continues, come and see the works of Hashem, who is held in awe by men. Some Mefarshim say that these works refer to the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, where the entire world saw the power of God. Rashi continues on the theme we were just discussing, noting that viewing Hashem's power can make sinners realize that Hashem knows their deeds and it can inspire them to repent. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha takes this idea a step further, encouraging us to read this pasuk as to see that even the terrifying acts of Hashem are planned with intelligence. This relates to the complex intersection of free choice and God's will. After all, if we believe that Hashem plans world events, then are we human beings just cogs in the machine, or are we active executors of our own free will? Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha argues that it's both. Hashem gives us the free will to make our own decisions, and he also orchestrates world events in such a way that ensure that his will be accomplished. Pasuk Vav contains a more explicit reference to the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, of the Exodus, praising Hashem who hafech yam leyabasha, who turned the sea into dry land. Rashi comments here that not only did we human beings rejoice and praise God for this extraordinary miracle, but that the sea itself praised God because the sea experienced his might firsthand. In Pasuk Chet, we are told, Baruchu Amim Elokim veHashmiu Kol Tehilato. O people, let's bless Hashem and make the voice of his praise heard. Rashi says that we should bless Hashem for his wonders, that he kept our soul alive in exile and did not allow other nations to annihilate us. The next pasuk continues in this theme, noting that Hashem has granted us life and not let our feet slip. Pasuk Yud again continues this concept, saying, you have tried us, Hashem, refining us as one refines silver. Rashi explains here that Hashem has tested us with the distress of exile, and that when we repent of our sins, we remove the residue that has covered our inner purity. In the next pasuk, we tell Hashem, Havetanu v'mitsuda, you have caught us in a net. According to Rashi, the idea of a net here connotes a narrow space, like a prison. And this connects to a larger theme in Tehillim, which is the contrast between narrowness and expansion. Later on, we're going to read the famous line, Min hametzar karasika, aneni b'merchav ya, from the narrow straits I called to you, Hashem, and he answered me with a vast expanse. At first glance, this tension between narrowness and expansion can be hard to relate to. Those are not sort of our go-to terminology when we think of having our prayers answered. But imagine a difficult situation where you felt that you had zero options. You were backed up against a wall and there was not even a single good option to choose from. And then over time, things change, things evolve, and you realize you have 3 good options. You have 5 good options. You have 10 good options. Imagine the relief that we feel when we see that we're not in such a tight, narrow space after all, but that we have options available to us. And somehow that sort of analogy, that metaphor, can help us understand this contrast between the narrowness that we sometimes experience from our perspective and the expansion that Hashem can offer us. As the parak concludes, we return to this discussion of exile that we had touched on earlier. Elav pikarati, we see in Pasuk Yud Zayin, my mouth called out to him. Rashi connects this to our exile, noting that even in the loneliness of galus, of exile, we called out to Hashem. And finally, the parak closes with a message of hope and a reminder of the eternal connection between God and his people. Pasuk Yud Chet reads, if I saw sin in my heart, Hashem does not hear it. Meaning that Hashem looks away from our sins. He wants to give us the benefit of the doubt and connect with us. The parak concludes with a beautiful concept, which is Baruch Elokim asher lo hisir tefilati v'chazdo me'iti. Blessed is Hashem who did not remove my prayer and his kindness from me. So let's take a moment and just pull all of these themes together. As we mentioned when we began, the theme of this parak is praising Hashem through the lens of human history. Through both the text itself and the commentaries, we encounter many significant historical moments in these words. First, we have the wonder of Yetzias Mitzrayim following many, many years of bitter slavery. Then we have the difficulties of exile with all the pain and suffering we have experienced. And yet we're reminded that even through all those years and centuries of wandering, even through all of the pain and loss that we have suffered, we have still called out to Hashem and praised him throughout. We are also, and I think even more powerfully, given a framework to use to understand these experiences. That just as we might use friction to polish a candlestick, removing chunks of wax and spots of rust, so too God uses struggle to refine us and to allow the pure, clear silver at our core to shine through. Because as the parak notes, just as we have sought God through the long, dark years of exile, he has sought us too. And just as he has longed for us, we have longed for him. Thank you for learning with us, Li'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.